Welcome back to On Texas Football. I'm CJ Vogel. We got a very special guest today. Of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about the future 2024 season with Texas, their win totals, maybe some Heisman bets in there as well. We got Colin Wilson from the Action Network. Make sure to go follow him on Twitter at _Colin1. That's with two L's as well. Does tremendous work. And Colin, off the bat, I got to tip my cap to you because last year at the Big 12 Media Days, we were talking about, you know, some teams that might surprise. And you gave me West Virginia over 5.5 wins, and they went 9-4. So thank you very much for that one. That was a nice little hamburger meal that I had on you. So I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful again for you joining us today. But I wanted to start a little bit with Texas coming off of a pretty spectacular season for Texas' standards over the last couple of years. You know, they end up in that Final Four of the College Football Playoff, come up a little bit short against Washington, but you know, they come into 2024 with sky-high expectations, right? You know, return Quinn Ewers, offensive line remains the same. You got those key pieces out of the portal. What is it from an outsider's perspective about Texas that makes them a little bit attractive this year? Or if there's anything that gives you hesitancy that kind of offsets that?
Well, first off, it's good to see you again, because at Media Day last year, I got to my spot at Media Row, Big 12 Media Days. I picked up the sheet that had all of the projected standings that everybody had voted on. And I turned around. I believe I walked over to you and I'm like, they picked West Virginia dead last in this conference. That's not going to happen at all whatsoever. And then if you remember the second thing I said to you, I said, I'm a little cautious about this, but I think Texas might be the best team in the nation. Like, and I never say that. I never have been on this Texas bandwagon. You know, they always seem to fail no matter what head coach was there before. But when they hired Steve Sarkisian, you were getting the best offensive mastermind. You were getting someone that is young enough to hound the portal and not retire. You're getting someone that can attract other coaches that can help him out at position levels and everything. The problem was they just never had the depth. They never, I mean, they could always get the talent they want, but they lost a lot of recruits to other programs. But now, for a second year in a row, I will say that Texas is 100% legit. They're a national title contender. They are immediately an SEC contender. I think the biggest problem that they have is this schedule, because I don't think it's any one position group on the entire team right now.
So that's interesting, because I've done the deep dive on the schedule, of course. You know, it's one of those off-season talking points that you look at and you say, all right, you know, what can we kind of make do with at the moment? Of course, you go to Michigan, you take Oklahoma and Georgia back-to-back, and then I think the last three games could be a little bit challenging. You go on the road to Fayetteville, Fayetnam, as they call it, and then I think that's the biggest trap game Texas will face in a few years is that Kentucky game, splitting Arkansas and Texas A&M both on the road. But is there enough juice that you think right now for Texas in terms of talent on the roster and obviously Quinn Ewers behind center there where they can, you know, take advantage of what I believe is a -220, -230 line to make the 12-team playoff again in 2024?
Yeah, they can absolutely make the playoff. The number is so inflated on all these teams in the betting market to make the playoff. Right. They're not near where they should be, but Texas is one of those teams that has a justified reason why they're above -150. And it goes back to what this roster has. Defensive line was at a premium in the portal, and you know they were able to go not only and get from UTSA, they were able to get Trey Moore. He had 14 sacks for the Roadrunners last year. They were able to get him to come down. He's going to be switching up with Burke and Sorrell. So they have edge rushers. They have rushers from the inside, and that is the one thing that you have to have in college football to be a national title contender, is be able to get pressure on the quarterback. And then when you look at other positions, Sark cut an interview like 2 weeks ago. He's like, when I got here, we only had 5 starting offensive linemen and maybe 1 reserve. Now we've got like 18. Yeah. That's what it is at every single position, even running back. You know, we said this last year, you lose Bijan Robinson and you're able to backfill it with 3 or 4 running backs. You still have Jadon Blue. You still have CJ Baxter. And then the one question that nobody's going to be able to like really answer is, who else has premium elite depth at quarterback? You could contend that Georgia does now. They have Jaden Rashada. I'm not sure if he's going to see the field this year. Right. But Texas absolutely does, right? I mean, name a quarterback room outside of that may be better, and it's really tough to find. So Texas has everything it needs. And getting back to your original statement about the schedule, the depth in these college football teams is what wins games in November. A lot of teams seem to gas out after, you know, late October. You think of Ole Miss. these people that are on Ole Miss right now, just throwing birthday parties and hot dog eating contests or whatever the hell is going on over there at the Grove. If you don't have the depth, you're going to get drummed by Georgia in late October, right? You're going to get drummed by these high class teams. So, you know, there's Texas has everything that they need right now. That Kentucky game does fall into a very soft spot because the Texas, and you would know this better than me because I've lived in Arkansas. I've only seen Texas as a rival eyes through, you know, I was born in the Southwest Conference was rolling, right? Right. And so Texas is going to play Texas A&M for the first time in a long time, a rivalry that, you know, everybody cried about when it came to an end, and now it's back. So how much are you taking serious on this Texas-Kentucky game that is the second to the last game of the season? I project the spread to be about 22.8 in favor of Texas, but in no way would I ever take that line because of the look-ahead spot to Texas A&M. You got to think that these you know, at-home Texas players on the roster really want to get one back on Texas A&M.
Yeah, it's been a shame that that game has gone on so long without being played. And obviously, you know, Texas kind of escaped some of those top offenses in the SEC that you're expecting. Of course, no LSU, no Ole Miss, Tennessee not on the schedule. But at the same time, you play some, you know, styles of SEC opponents that might not fit what Texas is prepared for, right? Obviously, you lose Byron Murphy, you lose Devondre Sweat. That middle of the defensive line might be a little bit vulnerable. We'll see, of course. They'll be tested week two against Michigan. But that plays into why I think Kentucky might be a little bit difficult because of the style of play that they bring, kind of smash mouth, physical, running the ball. But adding Brock Vandergriff and, of course, wins it from Rutgers, what does that quarterback dynamic look like there? I wanted to go back a little bit because I would love to enjoy a couple hot dogs or beers over at the Grove in Ole Miss. That would be a blast. But heading up north to Ann Arbor, because that's the game right now where I think all Texas fans are, all right, we got a premier pre-non-conference, you know, matchup with the defending champions. And right now Vegas favors Texas, right? You know, 2.5-point favorites, depending on where you see your lines. I think, you know, in kind of, speaking broadly here, because of the departures Michigan had to the NFL and obviously Jim Harbaugh, it's fair. But that's not an easy place to play. You are playing the defending champions that still has a lot of talent on the roster at the moment. Is that something that you think is, you know, a favorable line? Is it something that Texas is, you know, due for with a returning quarterback?
I would make a bet on Michigan in that scenario. I mean, I power rate this Michigan -3. So it's not a huge variance here. It's really more of where your power rating is versus home field advantage. That's what's powering Michigan here is home field advantage. But that defensive line that I talk so highly of, they're going to have to be ready because what Michigan's going to do under Sherrone Moore is play bully ball and run the ball to death. You think the reason why you know, they did not attempt a pass in the second half against Penn State last year. That was Sherrone Moore's call because he knew he could run the ball and run it down their throat, and they did it all day against Penn State's defense. So if there is an angle where Texas may be a little bit weak, which I don't think it's the secondary anymore, not with Makubu coming over from Clemson, that was the one. And you know, I think I might have said this to you last year, CJ, it's that secondary is going to be the reason Washington wins that playoff game. I think if Texas would have got paired up with anybody else of the other playoff contenders in the, you know, say in the Rose Bowl, they could be sitting as national champions. But I don't think the secondary is a weakness anymore. Michigan's not going to throw on you. They're going to run the ball. So really this comes down to will Texas front seven. I mean, you're great at pass rushing, but you're going to have to be run stoppers in that game up in the Big House because that is exactly what Sherrone Moore is going to do.
Yeah, of course, that will be the precursor of what Texas can do the remainder of the season. You know, again, going back a little bit, no Sweat, no Murphy. Can Jermaine Lolay from Louisville, can Bill Norton, Tia Savea from Arizona be those run-stopping anchors in the middle of the defensive line? That's kind of the big question mark. But luckily, Texas will have a third-year returning starting quarterback who Quinn Ewers, and here comes the Heisman conversation because it's time, right? Get the – you know, kind of the agenda machine going a little bit if you're a Texas fan. But the second shortest odds to Carson Beck, +900, kind of where he's sitting at the moment. I think with the way that Texas has rebounded with these additions at the playmaking, you know, positions right now, It's probably fair. Now, of course, Quinn has to go out and there has to be a leap from what we saw a year ago, right? Of course, there were too many times where the field goal team was on the field, you know, drive stopped short of the end zone, only 22 touchdowns a year ago. That number has to improve for a Heisman winning quarterback. Is there value in there? Or would you look to live bet this a little bit later in the year should it come off to a slow start?
I would live bet it later in the year. You don't want to take one of the Heisman favorite candidates at this early in the season. That number is definitely still going to be there in 3 months. So you run a no injury information, anything else that might affect the team. I wouldn't take a number like that this early. I would only probably look at guys that are maybe 20-1 or better that have a real shot, or guys that are 100-1 or better have an outside shot. That's how I attack the Heisman market. But at the same time, it's, you know, Quinn Ewers has a very tough schedule. And it, you know, the problem is this seems to be a team award. A, your team probably needs to make the college football playoff unless you're Lamar Jackson or Caleb Williams. B, you got to win the big games on your schedule. Well, if you look at this schedule, yeah, not only are you going to have to win Red River, you're going to turn around and beat Georgia the next week. And that Michigan game is going to keep being everybody's mind. So Quinn's got to win those games, be the starter and win those games, not be hurt. And that's a really tough task because you never hear anybody voting for the Heisman that talks about strength of schedule or covering the spread, or you don't hear some of the intangibles, maybe like, you know, throw, you know, turnover worthy plays, big time throws. You don't hear that kind of stuff. You just hear raw numbers and touchdowns. And that was a huge problem for Texas last year. I can't remember if it was Oklahoma State, but I think there was a game where they had 6 trips past the 40-yard line and had like 6 field goal attempts. That's actually been a consistent issue with Sark. It was, I mean, not just at Texas, that happened at Alabama too. And, you know, I think we called it playing with their food. Like if Texas can execute and get their finishing drives, which is points scored every time you cross the 40, if they can get that up from about 2.9 up to about 3.9, then this is an elite offense. But I mean, that's one reason that I would hold off on Quinn Ewers is because you mentioned what they do in finishing drives on drives past the 40-yard line.
Now, here's a curveball for you, and I haven't prepped you for this, so I'm sorry, but Texas has a running back monster right now that fans are very excited about. Jaden Blue, one of the fastest backs in the country, has yet to really have, any of those big outings where you see him take over 15, 20, 25 carries a game. Of course, that's what Jonathan Brooks was very good at a year ago. And of course, he was in that conversation for Doak Walker last year. CJ Basher going into year two, you expect him to kind of have some more armor on him to withstand some of those hits that caused nagging injuries a year ago. But under Steve Sarkisian, and this has kind of been one of those, famous under the table kind of storylines with him, is there's always a 1,000-yard rusher with Steve Sarkisian, right? Is there an outside chance that we're looking at the wrong Heisman candidate on this Texas roster with one of those two running backs kind of being the guy?
Yeah, and I think that's one of that plays into the games that I mentioned, right? To win this Heisman Trophy for Texas schedule, you have to beat Oklahoma, Georgia, and you have to beat probably Texas A&M at the end of the year for a standout game. But Georgia and Michigan are definitely up there. So you have to think, how do I attack those teams? And are there secondaries above average where it kind of takes Ewers out of the game and you can run the ball and that's what becomes your star? There's no way you're beating Georgia with just a passing attack. You have to be able to run between the tackles. You have to do inside zone. So if we think CJ Baxter is going to be healthy enough to run inside zone and have success against Georgia and lead them to a win there after Red River, you're right. That is the guy right there. If we think Jaylon Blue can have a heavier carry, he's got to have carry more, you could get 1,000 yards, I guess, with 10 carries with him. I mean, he's that explosive, but at the same time, he's got to show much more than that. And I think it's tough for a running back in general to win the award. It seems like quarterbacks are just somebody would rather mention a quarterback that's playing in G5 before you take a powerhouse running back at an SEC school to win the Heisman. So I wouldn't shed any money on it. I think the only interest, I'll just say this for the show, the only interest I have in a Heisman right now is Riley Leonard at Notre Dame, because the creation of this 12-team playoff deems 4 teams are going to get home games. And I think it's college football and NCAA's dream to have a playoff game in South Bend, and the quarterback's going to get them there with a softer schedule than everything you and I have talked about is Notre Dame's schedule, and that is their Duke transfer quarterback, Riley Leonard. So if anybody wants to make a Heisman bet, that's a number out there that I think is pretty appealing.
Well, let me run to the window real quick right after this and go place that one. I like that as well. That's a good transition as well, because I did want to close out on Texas A&M. Of course, Texas fans, they get that game back. They're very excited for it. I believe I saw a line with Texas favored by about a touchdown, but it might have been about 4 points, I believe, is what the actual number is. Texas A&M and Notre Dame kick off the year. So this is a smooth transition for whether or not, Riley Leonard tickets will be burned at the stake or they'll, kind of be put away for later in the year. But with that Texas A&M game coming back, Texas, obviously, we mentioned it, coming off of that Kentucky game, going to College Station, is it fair for Texas to be a favorite in that game? Do you think that that environment will play a little bit more of a role? We see that Texas A&M doesn't have Georgia. They don't have Oklahoma. They don't have Alabama. Is it, you know, almost a little premature to think that that record will be indicative of the team that they are by the time that Texas plays them?
Yeah, I think so. The team is going to change a lot. Mike Elko wants to do his system. And when he got to Duke, he made everybody run his system. 4-2-5 defense that he's famous for, that he always did at Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Duke started immediately doing that. Offensive side, he had input onto what was going on there. So I think Texas A&M may struggle out of the gate, but once they get to the last game of the season, the biggest rivalry game they've had in maybe forever down at College Station,
right?
I'm not sure I'm looking at a game of the year, because I project this thing at 7. I'm not sure. I mean, I have confidence that Texas, from a power rating perspective, is 7 to 10 points better than Texas A&M. But when we actually talk about the Longhorns going in there, that is a very, very tough task. And who knows if they're going to be beat up from a grind of Kentucky the week before. But Texas is definitely the side I'm looking at there. But that has got to be one of the toughest places in the nation to play. It's not something I'm running at to buy right now. But I do like Texas to win that game, and I like them to win it by a possession.
Does it play in any factor at all that Quinn's played in those big environments? You know, you've gone on the road to Alabama. You all have gone on the road to the Big House. And, of course, a Sugar Bowl game a year ago. Going into College Station, yes, it's going to be loud. It's going to be a bit hostile. But having that experience in a game like that, how much of a factor does that play into it when you weigh what the line might be at the end of the day?
It's a really good question, CJ, because there are people in the SEC, and I'm one of them, that says – Michigan is the quietest 105,000 fans you've ever heard in your life. I have been to a game up there. It was like 20 years ago, and it wasn't as loud as Tennessee. I went to Arkansas, Tennessee in 98, and I've been to LSU and had batteries thrown at me. Like, I've been run out of SEC venues, right? I mean, I've heard some of the rowdiest things in the SEC play. So does Michigan in the Big House get him ready for Texas A&M? I don't think so. And then you think, well, you know, Quinn played down in the Sugar Bowl for the playoff. Okay, but that was half and half fan base. So has Quinn Ewers been in an environment, and you think of Red River too, same thing, half and half, right? It's, has he played in an extremely hostile environment considering they've been in the Big 12? I mean, if you want to make a case that Kansas State and Oklahoma State have venues that are tough to play in, that's fine. But Texas A&M might be an animal that they have, that Quinn Ewers has never seen. And I'm looking at the schedule, like, you're not going to get that at Vanderbilt. And I hate to say it about my Hogs, you're not going to get that at Arkansas either. They'll be out of the game in the first quarter. So, you know, and I don't think Michigan's going to be loud enough to put the pressure on them. And I think, for one thing, I think, you know, when I think about that game, like, Texas is going to have a little break from the heat. They're going to get flown up there and play in what, 75-degree weather? I bet the Longhorns are flying in that game because, you know, back when they had Tom Herman as the coach, he beat them up in two-a-days and they'd be injured going into their first couple games. But Sark does it, you know, yeah. Sark plays it a lot differently. So, I think Texas A&M may be the toughest environment Quinn Ewers has ever played in.
So, on top of Bryant Denny last year, you're giving Kyle Field the nod there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really rough too. They were unconscious. I think you're right. That is probably the toughest one they played. I don't know. Texas A&M is they're literally,
I think they're going to be up for it more than anybody Texas has faced for, because it's the first time in what, 13 years that this game has been played. I mean, it's been built up for years, and finally it's the first game. I'm with you. I do think it will be the toughest spot for Quinn Ewers to have played in his career.
He did have his band, though. Texas band was in the upper deck of Alabama, though, right? So there, that's a good thing.
That's right. He'll have at least some momentum and noise on, you know, behind him at Kyle Field this fall. But, Colin, thank you very much. I wanted to kind of leave you with this. You know, Texas, again, kind of sitting very closely to the SEC kind of favorites, you know, right behind Georgia, right behind Georgia again for the national title. Carson Beck leading the way ahead of Quinn Ewers for the Heisman favorites. This early, and I know we've got a long way to go before fall camp gets going and we really get prepared to go put those tickets down or whatever. Georgia is the favorite right now for the college football playoff.
Should they be?
Is that matter of fact?
So I do believe that Georgia is the only team I would bet on right now to win the national title. And it's because of the amount of depth they have. It's because of the schedule they have. Texas' schedule is pretty tough. And I will say this, because I have not released my numbers for SEC for anybody anywhere. From a conference win perspective, I have Georgia at 6.86 and I have Texas at 6.88. 2/10 of a point better than Georgia from a win total perspective. I have Texas at 10.4 and I have Georgia at 10.7. There's not a lot separating these guys. The only thing that's going to separate them throughout the entire season is that head-to-head game they play together. I just hate that it's in a really bad spot for the Longhorns, right? Coming home after Red River. When you go and look at what they've done after Red River, they had a bye last year, but then they struggled with Houston. And in 2022, they won a three-point game with Iowa State. And then when Sark first got there, they lost by 8 to Oklahoma State. So, like, the post-Red River thing is a real thing, and it's a bad spot for a Georgia-Texas game. I wish that game could be, like, week 2 or week 3, but we'll see if the Longhorns can do it.
Yeah, that's funny. That 2022 Iowa State game was probably won because of an Xavier Hutchinson drop, about a 45-yard bomb as well. So it's very likely that you're looking at a game in which, you know, Texas might be 0-3 in games after byes if Houston converts on a fourth down last year as well. But that's all in the past. We're looking to 2024. And Colin, thank you again. Make sure to go follow Colin on Twitter at underscore Colin with two L's, number one after that. Great work. I'm looking forward to seeing you at SEC Media Days this year in Dallas. Of course, then we'll concoct our next under the radar, easy regular season totals winner there as well. But thank you very much for joining us and can't wait to come back and see you again.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.